We're going to be looking this morning at Exodus chapter 33 and verses 12 through 17. If you would think about this question, what would distinguish us as followers of Jesus Christ from other people in the world? I would guess that there some answers that might come forth might be our good works. And indeed, I would hope that as followers of Christ, there are good deeds, good works that we are led to do. But I would say that would not distinguish us from other peoples. There are many people that do good works. Even atheists will do good works. This is by God's grace. They wouldn't recognize it, but they're doing good works. What about love? After all, Jesus himself said that they will know you are my disciples by your love for one another. And indeed, that's a distinguishing mark. But if you are out and you're the only believer in a group of neighborhood people or at your place of work, that wouldn't necessarily distinguish you because there's no other believers in Christ by which you may love one another. But the answer to what distinguishes us as Christians is actually in veiled form right here in our text we're going to be looking at. It's found in how God is dealing with Moses. And Moses is what we might call a prototype or a foreshadowing of Jesus Christ. And as we see how God deals with Moses, we're going to, I think, be able to grasp what it is that marks us as followers of Christ. And we're going to have an opportunity to mark this facility as belonging to Christ. And set apart for the glory of God. We just sang, Jesus is Lord of all. All my possessions. So that's not just about tithes and offerings. This is also a gift that God has given us. And Jesus is Lord over this property. So let's hear God's word as we find it in Exodus 33. I'll begin with verse 12 through verse 17. Moses said to the Lord, "You have been telling me, lead these people. But you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, I know you by name, and you have found favor with me. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways, so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people." The Lord replied, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Then Moses said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth?" And the Lord said to Moses, "I will do the very thing you have asked because I am pleased with you and I know you by name." You may have seen that the answer is right here. What distinguishes us? In context here, the answer is the presence of God. Marks us as unique. And in other words, the people of God, it's not just that we believe in God, we can talk about God, but there is something about by which His presence is manifested in our very lives. And that marks us as distinct from the peoples of the world who may be religious, but they're worshiping false gods and they give evidence of false gods, not the true God. And yet you may have caught Moses' concern here. He knows it's the presence of God that marks a people, but he's concerned his presence, God's presence, is not going to be with them. Now, why is that? Well, here's where the background is interesting. Many of you know the story how Moses went up under the mountain before this time. He received the Ten Commandments from God, and he brought them back down to the people, shared them with the people, and the people said, "Moses, we will obey God and worship Him alone." Moses said, "Great." Then Moses went back up onto the mountain for 40 days in order to receive instructions from God on how the people of God are to live and to worship. But during those 40 days, the people of God grew impatient. And then they did the unthinkable, the epitome of sin. They became self-focused and rebelled against God. They demanded that Aaron make a golden calf And then they set this golden calf up, and they said, this represents the gods, not God, the gods who have brought us out of Egypt. It was an incredible repudiation of God's merciful rescue of them out of Egypt. And it was a thumbing their nose to God and say, we will worship false gods. The epitome of sin. And when Moses came down from the mountain and saw this golden calf, he was crestfallen. And then God told Moses, now remember, God is holy. And because of his holy, pure presence, he cannot be in the presence of unrepentant sin. And so God told Moses that I need to bring judgment on my people Israel, and I will annihilate them. That's what sin deserves. So Moses, again, he's a type of Christ. He intercedes on behalf of the people. He cries out to God, have mercy and forgive us. And God forgives the people. He will not destroy them, but he does say there are consequences to your rebellion. So my presence will not go with you. And when Moses relays this to the people, this is right before our text, they mourn and they repent. And that brings us to our text. That's why Moses, again, in this crisis moment, he intercedes. He's saying to God, he says, you've told me to lead these people, but will I have a people to lead? And Moses says, I have found favor in your eyes, but I don't want to lose that. I don't want to wander off the wrong way. So show me your ways. Teach me your ways. And remember, oh God, these are your people. So in verse 14, God says to Moses, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Now, our English versions don't tell us something very significant here. The you there is singular. But God is saying at this point, Moses, I am going to, my presence will be with you, and I will give you rest. And Moses understands what God is saying. He's still not promising peace and rest and presence with his people. So then Moses pleads in verses 15 and 16. He says to the Lord, if your presence does not go with, notice what he says, us. He's not just talking about himself here. That's a sacrificial prayer. It's like Jesus. He sacrificed. He was thinking of us. Moses says, if your presence doesn't go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? And then what else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? We've got to have your presence. And God hears Moses' intercession and says, I will do the very thing you have asked because I am pleased with you and I know you by name. Now, what distinguishes us as followers of Christ? It is the presence of God in us because of this fact. We have put our faith in Jesus Christ crucified and risen. We know that all people, including us, have sinned. We've all erected golden calves in our hearts. We've all worshipped false gods. We've rebelled against God. But somewhere along the line, we have repented and we've cried out. And there has been an intercessor, one greater than Moses, that God sent, his own Son, Jesus Christ. And God was pleased. The Father was pleased with Jesus. Jesus always did the Father's will. He never sinned. He lived in absolute perfect presence of God by the Holy Spirit. And then Jesus did the unthinkable. Just as the people in Moses' day had done the unthinkable, the epitome of sin, Jesus did the unthinkable, the epitome of sacrificial love. He took intercession to an unheard of level. He took, although innocent, our sins upon himself and went to the cross and took God's wrath against sin upon himself so that we, by trusting in him, might be forgiven. And then 3 days later, he rose from the dead, defeating sin and death as Lord of all. And so as we put our trust in him, what he has done is he brings us a promised land. The fullness of that promised land, we're still on the journey, will not be experienced until Jesus returns again. But on the way, on the journey right now, what distinguishes us, what we can experience, is the very presence of God. Because Jesus and the Father have sent the Holy Spirit to dwell within us, to witness as an advance down payment, so to speak, of the promised land He's brought us. And not only that, Jesus says in Matthew 28:20, I am always with you. And not only that, even right now, my friends, at this very moment, our Lord Jesus is interceding at the right hand of the Father on our behalf. And the Father is pleased with His Son. And because of that intercession, the Father grants that request and manifests His presence in our midst, as many of us have tasted this morning. That's what distinguishes us. And then verse 14, by Christ, we can know the presence of God and enter His rest. A peace that passes understanding, even in the midst of this life's brokenness and turmoil. That is our inheritance. And it is also our mission, to know Christ and to make Him known. This morning, there may be those here, probably all of us to one extent or another, that need also to repent. Where might there be some golden calves in our hearts right now? Things where, yes, we may be a Christian, but we've allowed something to come between us and God. We've put something more important in our life than seeking God, loving Him, and serving Him. And if we have, that's a golden calf. And we want to repent from that and turn from it. And it can be in just a number of areas. But we're going to take a moment now and just be quiet before the Lord. And Holy Spirit, we ask You to search our hearts. Are there any golden calves there? Anything where we've become impatient with God? And so we've kind of gone our way. And we need to just confess that before You, Lord Jesus, and bring that to the cross. Let's just take a moment now and repent from what we need to turn from. Heavenly Father, we thank You that You hear our prayers because our Lord is interceding for us right now. And Your promise is if we confess our sins, You are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And now, Father, I pray that we would enter into that rest that Jesus alone brings us. Lord, we thank You for that amazing invitation You gave, that we can be yoked with You. And as we are yoked with You by faith, putting our trust in You, You promise us rest. And so, Holy Spirit, would You bring rest now for hearts in here that have been longing for a deeper touch from You? Would You touch them with Your rest? Where there's been doubt, where there's been hurt, where there's been wounds, where there have been harsh words spoken, would You bring Your peace and rest and Your healing touch, Lord Jesus? We are Your lambs, but we are lambs that easily get bruised, and we need Your healing touch and Your rest. We thank You, Jesus. Thank You for Your love. Thank You for Your gentleness. And then thank You that by Your strength, not ours, but Your strength, You send us out as Your representatives. You give us the empowerment of Your Holy Spirit to represent You. And we thank You for that opportunity now to be Your ambassadors. So we praise You. We bless You. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We have an opportunity this morning to set this place apart for the glory of God. We did this once last year, and it's a part of our kind of annual tradition to set this whole facility apart to the glory of God. And here's how we're going to do it this morning. We are His representatives now. We are His ambassadors. So we're going to divide up into 9 teams, and each team will have a certain area of the facility that they're going to anoint with oil. There's some anointing oil up here. The teams are up here, so you can be looking at this. 2 outside teams, there's 4 upstairs teams, and then 3 downstairs teams, and there's a facilitator for each team that will go forth. And the facilitator will get some oil up front here. Anyone in the team may use the oil and just discreetly anoint different places, and that's just a symbol of the presence of God's Spirit there as we set this place aside. And the outside teams will wind up, there's 2 of them, basically circling the whole property and anointing it. Isn't it neat? The Lord gave us a great day for that too. Not everyone goes on the outside teams, by the way, but you can see which teams are up there. And as the teams go forth, a few of them will run into some people like the junior church downstairs or the nurseries. They've been warned, so they'll be blessed when you come through. Now, each team, we'd like to have at least a minimum of 3 people on each team. We'll form those teams in just a moment. But some people are more quiet. No one's going to be forced to pray out loud, but you can just pray in your heart. But also at the same time, if you have a prayer at a particular room you're going to that you want to just pray briefly, go ahead and pray that. It's a team praying, but no one's obligated to pray. If you're not sure which team to be with, just kind of look as we form in a moment just to make sure there's at least 3 on each team. But some of you will have a calling. For example, Marcy's going to be doing the junior church, senior high room, and the electrical room. And so if you have a heart for the senior highs, you may want to go with that team. So you can see the breakdown there. At the same time, you may, if this is a little bit different or you're not sure or physically this would be a challenge, you can just stay right here in the sanctuary. There's going to be a team praying here in the sanctuary, and you can just in your heart be praying along with that team as well. So everyone can be involved in one way or another. It may be a new experience for you, and you can just kind of go along and observe, but there will be prayers in each team. So what we're going to do is give you about 15 minutes to go out and pray in your respective area, so you'll need to kind of move along, and then we'll come back here for a closing song and benediction before the potluck. By the way, the team doing the potluck area down below, you cannot eat yet until afterwards. Not everyone goes with the potluck team. So, okay, what we're going to have is outside team 1 does this like that, Barb. Outside team 2, Ben, will do that. Then there's a downstairs team with Jeanette doing the nurseries, hallway, et cetera, she knows. And then, like I said, Marcy's got that side down there. And then Leern's going to lead the fellowship hall and kitchen. And then upstairs, B's going to be doing the parlor, kitchen, and the prayer room. And then John's going to be doing the junior high room and the library and the entryway. And then Gary and Claire will be leading in the narthex area and the 2 offices, and Jenny will be here. So I'd like those 9 facilitators to, over here, let's put Marcy and then Jeanette right there so you know which team to go with. And then Leern, you're back there in that corner. And Ben, why don't you go out into the narthex? You're an outside. And Barb, you go in the narthex because you're an outside person. You can meet your teams there. And then John, you're over here. And then, he's right there. And then Gary and Claire, you're right there. You can see them over there. And Jenny, you just stay here in the sanctuary. And B, how about over here by the door? Okay, form your teams and make sure there's about 3 in each team. We may have to recruit if possible. And we'll see you back in about 15 minutes. any kind of a testimony, question, or anything the Lord maybe revealed to you during this time, or even for those in here as well, but any debrief responses that you may have so far. Oh, yes.
Every time I come, I know He's here.
Yes.
Welcoming.
She's saying every time she comes, she just knows the Lord is here welcoming Him. And that's exactly our prayer. That's exactly what we want, is that people know as they come in here that the presence of the Lord is here. Thank you. Anything else you experienced? Any blessing in your... Were you able to pray with the nursery helper? Okay, good. Because I'd kind of warned her that you'd be invading the space down there as well. Okay. Well, these are up-to-date pictures that Kim has just taken of this in our day of instant response, some of the different prayer groups. Thanks, Kim. I appreciate everyone being willing to do this and to go out and just kind of, we trust how God would kind of divide up the teams. And I don't see either of our outdoor teams back yet.
It is.
And that's, we talk about our spring cleaning in our home. This is kind of a spiritual spring cleaning here. It's giving us a fresh start, fresh hope.
You know, I think anybody that goes with wherever we're at in this place, they always get a history lesson.
Yeah. You know, and this is one of the things I really appreciate about our senior citizens. They have been here for the long haul. Talk about running the race, perseverance. And so there's been, a sense of longevity that is also developed some of the deep-rootedness of their faithful prayers through the years. When I came here quite a long time ago, there was a period, the church was on a rebound, but there had been a period about 10 years before I came when there was just a handful of people still here. But in that handful were a few very faithful prayers. And I emphasize, they prayed. And then over time, you can see the fruit of their prayers, and God brought other prayers, you know. We always want to remember the primacy of prayer, because when Jesus ascended back to heaven after His crucifixion and resurrection, 40 days of appearance, the one thing He left behind was a prayer meeting. He said, this is how the church will be built. That, and by the power of the Spirit, He said, you pray and wait for the empowerment of the Spirit. Now, it's not that programs and other things don't have their place. God, you know, raises those up too. But the primacy, what you build on, is trusting prayer and the work of the Holy Spirit to advance the gospel. You build off of those foundations, and it's no different now than it was at the start of the book of Acts. And so that's why this is, I think, so central to what we do. Exactly. Prayer is what grows us. So we just want to persevere. And no wonder the enemy tries to keep the Church of Christ from praying, because the enemy knows that is our stronghold, is in prayer. Yeah. And so even though I try to give 15 minutes, I know that with some groups, you know, they get out there and praise God, this is their call. They'll get caught up in prayer. Our two outside groups, they have some distance to cover, but in the process, they're also bearing witness out there. I know that the group number two that had the west side, I said, make sure you get by the sheds, anoint them, pray for them as well. So God has given grace there. Oh, yeah. Isn't that neat? The garden, so you got a team out there. Chuck Wetzler did the first mowing of the season a few days ago with the mower from a neighbor across the street, who heard about the stolen lawnmower, and he and his wife have gone to Germany for several years. They've rented out their house, and he said, you know, I've got this almost new riding mower, and you're free to just go over and do that. And the lady who's renting there, Susanna Stone, sometimes worships here. So that's God's given us a couple of years grace there for the mowing of our lawn. So there's always these grace notes. Well, welcome back. One of our outside teams is coming back. Anything interesting to report? Any debrief?
It's so beautiful.
It's so beautiful.
Pray in the garden.
Oh,
yeah. Like
oh, yeah. What a day.
Each of us who prayed beautifully over the doors for protection and for those who enter to be coming from all nations.
Oh, great.
And for safety, of course.
Uh-huh.
And then we had to pray for some personal healing.
Well, good.
Yes. Because we were not ready to come in without Jesus.
You know, that's how the Holy Spirit will guide each group with particular areas of prayer. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship and the presence of the Holy Spirit be with us now and always. Amen.